Peter Drury joins us now on Sportsnet 590 The Fence. Great to have you on live from Russia. Thanks for doing this.
It's good to be with you. Good morning.
Tell us a little bit about the England game yesterday. You've grown up your whole life, watched England. I've always cheered for England, watched them, sometimes been over in England, watching some of their, I watched the Gareth Southgate penalty live in a pub in 1996. I watched Beckham's red card against Argentina in 98. So I've lived and breathed these tragedies, Peter. It's great to get six goals against Panama. I still don't know if it tells us very much about who they are and what their main potential, other than Harry Kane, is. No one should have questioned him 2 years ago in the Euro lineup for Roy Hodgson. This guy is getting on that list with the Michael Owens and the Alan Shearers and the Wayne Rooneys for being an effective England striker, isn't he?
He is. How much it tells us is really how much we want to be told by it. The great thing from an English perspective, and you catalogue all the tragedies of years gone by, is that at least we're in a position to enjoy this World Cup for a little while. You know, by this time 4 years ago, we were packing our bags to go home. We're still in it. And not just that, we're still in it. We're having fun. We've won a couple of games. And I would have to concur with your implication. Panama, frankly, weren't very good. But that's by the by. England have come up against teams in the past that aren't very good. And they've made it look hard work. Yesterday, they made it look what it was. They ripped Panama apart, and they played with a freedom, an absence of baggage, a joie de vivre, and they kind of reminded us that we're supposed to be enjoying these things. And that in itself is a lovely thing. Now, how far that takes us over the next week or two or three, fingers crossed, who knows? But for now, it's lovely to be an Englishman who can wear his colours with a bit of pride and with a smile on our face.
All right, so in this era of diminished expectations, what's good? Is this good enough? I mean, at what point do you go, yes, I'm happy with how this went?
Well, that's an interesting question, because you're right to identify an era of diminished expectation. The trouble with a 6-1 win is that it does crazy things to that expectation. And so all of a sudden people are daring to say, could we, might we, you know, this time? I obviously, just getting to the last 16 now won't be considered good enough, because detractors, and there are still some, will say that, okay, England have got to the last 16 via two pretty easy games, Tunisia and Panama, and that's a fair point. They've got this slightly awkward game against Belgium now, which is a really sort of weird phenomenon, based on the fact that neither side is necessarily going to play its strongest team. Neither side is quite sure whether it's the best thing to win, because being runner-up in that group on the face of it appears to offer an easier passage through the knockout stage. But it creates a climate where we are asking of ourselves whether we can certainly get to the quarterfinal, and then, based on a one-off tie against who knows whom, possibly even further than that. England, though, we must remember, are not the only nation thinking this. You know, Belgium were terrific the other day. Mexico have been very good. Croatia have been very good. Mm-hmm. Brazil are growing into the competition. Spain, we expect to go through. You know, I appreciate you're not English, but I am, and you're speaking on behalf of them. It's very easy for us English to be one-eyed about this and think only how good our team appears to be at the moment. We will soon start running into considerably better opponents.
Excellent. Peter Drury, our guest on Brady and Price, 719. It often has that feel, and when I've traveled to Euros, it's been this way. When the host team goes out, a little bit of air goes out of the balloon. Has a good Russia team help this tournament's atmosphere? They were terrible at Euro. I saw them lose to Slovakia in person. They were awful in 2016, and there were problems off the pitch as well. We all thought they had an easy group, but has Russia being in it, though not many, I would say, worldwide, or really, nobody wants to see Vladimir Putin celebrate a World Cup victory or anything like that, but has them being in it and playing a big match today, has that helped the tournament as a whole and the atmosphere?
The answer to that is an emphatic yes. And I'm not going to comment on the politics, and I know your tongue is in your cheek there. The lovely thing about this competition is, if I may get a little bit philosophical and maybe too profound for this time in the morning, how unpolitical it feels. And I know that is to wash aside a whole range of issues that some people feel uncomfortable with. But one of the lovely things about being in Moscow this last week or two has been the extraordinary warmth of welcome here, the beautiful colour of this city. And to walk through Red Square, as I did a couple of days ago, and actually I'm pacing up and down only a mile or so away from Red Square now, talking to you, you know, there is a wonderful, wonderful international buzz here, where people from all corners of the globe, genuinely, it's not just me as a commentator trotting out the cliches and telling you what you want to hear. Genuinely, you see Germans and Colombians and Peruvians and Swedes and so on, just making friends, you know. And a part of that vibe, without question, is that Russia have thrived against, as you say, all expectation. I was here last summer for the Confederations Cup, and Russia were dreadful.
Yeah.
And there was a real fear that they'd be done before the competition had even got any momentum. And so the fact that they are already confirmed in the last 16 is fantastic. And this is my sixth World Cup, and you're absolutely right. Wherever in the world this competition takes place, it's always best if the host is doing well.
Well, we have replay now at the World Cup, so why don't we use it? Much consternation with the Swedish-Germany game that it wasn't used at the time, and this cost Sweden, maybe even cost them a spot next round. What's your take?
Well, my take is this. I think there have clearly been a handful of instances where it has been curious that the video assistant referee hasn't played a more proactive part, and Sweden are the latest to feel that way. I know Brazil did in their first game against Switzerland. England did, actually, in their first game against Tunisia, though it didn't matter because they won the game anyway. And those aren't the only ones. What I would say about the video assistant referee, though, is that after a period of skepticism, which is ongoing still, I think, broadly speaking, it's been a success, which isn't to say it has a 100% hit rate. As you rightly imply, it hasn't. But it is correcting more decisions than would have been corrected if it didn't exist. So it's moving us in the right direction, albeit imperfectly, which, of course, I understand is no consolation to those like Sweden who feel hard done by.
Peter, this was far from an imperfect interview. You were perfect. Big fans, even with walking and pacing so close to Red Square. Not many have had their phones confiscated in decades past. We're glad you were able to hang on through the duration of the call. We hope you have a great call tomorrow, France and Denmark, and we're going to be watching. All of Canada will be.
And I can't wait to come to Toronto in 26.
Oh, you're signed already, are you? We're not. I mean, that's a long-term contract. We're
know?
Not even sure about us.
Yeah, no. Perhaps that was a bit presumptuous, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's not like it's next anyway, week. But we're happy to have you. We're happy to have you in 2026.
Oh, bless you. Thank you. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it, shall we?